tonight we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, and also 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's the actually chapter 12, verse 31 is actually the last verse in that chapter. All right. And I'm going to start, just for the sake of the context, I'm going to start reading at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Tonight we're going to be talking about just an enduring love. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Just an enduring love that endures, or love that endures. All right. Enduring love. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, and then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities, and tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers or miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gift. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And verse 31 is the prelude, actually, for chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm becoming as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I have not charity, then I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, love charity, love is charity, guess what? It profiteth me nothing. That's nothing. Amen. Without love. Love suffereth long. Love is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, nor is it puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Love, this is the key verse, love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. Love endureth all things. Amen. No matter what you can go through in life, anything you can go through, love endures all things. All things. Amen. And then it goes on to say, now that's the focal text for tonight, verses 1 through 7, but I will read the rest of the chapter. Love never fails, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, whether they be tongues, they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. When I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But now we see through a glass darkly, and then face to face. Now I know in part, but shall I know even as I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you just for who you are. Jesus, we thank you for this time to come together, oh God, to just meditate and reflect on your word. Father, we pray, oh God, that you set the very atmospheres in our hearts, that you set the atmosphere in this place. Oh God, that we bind and rebuke anything that's an attack or a raid against the knowledge of who you are. Father, oh God, we're living in a desperate time. We're living in a thirsty land. We're living in a land, oh God, that people have turned their backs on you. Oh God, you've shown us the truth. You've given us the truth. People will know the truth, but would rather hear a lie. So God, we thank you, oh God, because Lord, you are still faithful. You are just. You are awesome, oh God. You are holy. You are wise. You are righteous. You are omnipotent. You are omniscient, oh God. You are the very air that we breathe, oh God. You are our everything. God, we thank you, oh God, because Lord, you apprehended that. We're apprehending that with that apprehended after us. Paul said, I want to know you. I want a deeper relationship with you. I want deeper fellowship with you, to know you in the power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your suffering, even to be made conformable to your very death. God, you predestinated before the foundation of this world that we should be conformed to the image of your Son. It's no longer about finding our best life, but God, is about you replacing us to make us fit to live for you. God, we glorify you, oh God. Drive out anything that's an attack or a raid against the knowledge of who you are. Set the very atmosphere, oh God. We bind and rebuke any distraction, even on the phone, on the call, even in the hearts of the listener, oh God. Father God, we pray, oh God, your presence, your power, your spirit, oh God, your fragrance, oh God. Just fill our hearts. Fill this place. Crucify my very flesh, oh God. Help me not to speak out of turn, to say anything that's contrary to your word and to your will. God, we love you, oh God. We put no other God or thing or substance before you. Have your way. In Jesus' name and for his sake, we pray. Let everybody say amen. 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 So we just want to talk about tonight an enduring love. Enduring love or a love that endures. Amen. A love that endures. And we talk about, I was doing a wedding one time. And I was standing, this was probably about a year or so ago, and I was standing at the altar, and this chapter was read, verse 13, chapter 13 was read. Actually, I read the chapter in the beginning when the bride first came down the aisle, and we were reading this, and right there, church had a lot of people in it, and the bride was at the altar, and we read this, and we got down to, you know, verse 5, love behaveth not itself unseemly, love seeketh not her own, love is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Then we got to this part, love beareth all things, right? Love believeth all things, love hopeth all things, love endureth all things. We got down to that part, and God just dealt with my heart right then and there on the spot that there's nothing in this life, in this world, that we can ever go through that the love of Christ can't meet us, that the love of Christ can't constrain us, that the love of Christ cannot deliver us from. When it says love believeth all things, love hopeth all things, love endures all things. And that's especially for a marriage, you know, or for anybody or any single person, anybody lonely. Guess what? Love is there to endure. And you know what? This love that's described here in chapter 13, a lot of times we look at this and we see it read for a wedding, right? And we think it's our love. Or my love has to grow, or my love has to stretch to love my wife. But how many know this is not talking about our love? Amen. This is not talking about my love, the love that I have, or a phileo kind of love. Amen. There's different kind of loves. But this is talking about an unconditional love, and it's talking about the love of Jesus Christ. And in this Corinthian church, sometimes we have a tendency to read in Corinthians, and we forget sometimes the background, or we forget sometimes the nature, or we forget sometimes the church that he was preaching to. But this is the Corinthian church. This is the Corinthian church. And y'all know that, man, Corinthian church has some stuff going on with it. There were those that were, they had celebrity preachers. And some were saying, I'm of this preacher. Some of them were saying, I'm of that preacher. There was a lot of glitz and glamour going on. There was a lot of things going on in the church. But the church was a carnal church. The church was a worldly church. And there were some problems going awry in this church. And Paul deals with them. He said, I came not to know anything among you except for Jesus Christ and him being crucified in the beginning of the book of Corinthians. Then he goes on to address different things. He goes on to restore order in this church. He came into this church not giving his opinion. He came into this church not talking about what he think, what he felt. He didn't come into this church to talk about anything about how he felt, but he came preaching the word of God. And he said, the crucifixion, the message of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But to us who are saved, it is the power of God. So he had to address a lot of things. He had to put a lot of things in order. Even there was one sleeping with his stepmother, and nobody was challenging them. Nobody was speaking to it. Nobody was addressing to it. There was carnality going on outside the church. People were bringing in and mixing it up. There was worldliness, and not only that, but they were fleshly. They were carnal believers. But Paul goes on to establish order. And you know, it's funny. You hear that this church had all these gifts, right? They had all these problems with worldliness. They had all these problems with carnality. But guess what? They had gifts. They had people that could speak in tongues. They had people that could shout. They had people that could prophesy. They had people that could do all these things, right? But there was one ingredient missing, and that was the gift of love. Amen? That was the gift of love. So here in our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about the body of Christ. Talks about verse 26, that we, and whether one member suffers, all members suffer. Whether it be one member honored, all members are honored. He was establishing order. He was establishing unity in the church. He was establishing the unity of the body of Christ. And then he goes on to say, now ye are of the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church. Verse 28. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly, teachers. He talked about miracles. Y'all know they had it going on, right? They had miracles going on. They had prophets. They had gifts of healing. And listen, and I'm not here to knock. I'm not even here in this Bible study to knock the gifts. Gifts of healing and certain gifts that are still functioning in the body of Christ. That's not what this is about. But this is to talk about the priority. Amen? The priority of love. Then he goes on to say, then the gifts of healing, the gifts of helps, the gifts of government, the gifts of diversity of tongues. He says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers and miracles? And they had those desiring, they were jockeying for gifts, right? He says, having all the gifts of healing, or do all speak in tongues, or do interpret. He says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Right? And I had a book one time, or I have a book, it talks about Dr. Charles Stanley. Talks about, notice, all very glitzy, spectacular types of things. Crowd pleasers. People will look at their gifts and think these must be true men of God. But Jesus says, don't be impressed. Instead, check out their fruit. And if you come up empty, move on. Amen? Giftedness does not determine your greatness in God's book. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits, not how by anointed they appear to be, not by the miracles, not by what they perform, not by the revelation of knowledge they claim to have. You will recognize God's hands of blessing of men and women by the fruit they bear. Amen? Y'all know why? Because it's a whole lot easier to do these gifts. It's a whole, and some people are gifted. It is a whole lot easier to produce natural talent than to submit to the love of Jesus Christ, to be broken and where fruit is performed in your life. Amen? And guess what? Community Baptist Church, they will know you by your fruit. You can talk a big game. You can talk about what you're doing. We can talk about the food pantry. We can talk about the street ministry, the prison ministry. We can talk about all these other things. I can talk about preaching. We can talk about the bereavement ministry and all these other things. Guess what? But if there's no fruit in my life, there's something wrong. Amen. There's got to be fruit. Check out his fruit. Amen. And I'm not just talking about fruit in the church, but there ought to be fruit in my life. Yes. Listen, if my wife come in with a frown on her face every Sunday. Something wrong. I'm not saying preachers or teachers or people in the church, you know, your kids could go astray. Amen. That happens. Some of the people that administer alcoholic programs, it's their sons the ones on alcohol. That, you know what I mean? But guess what? There ought to be some fruit in my life. And sometimes, amen, if I got to step down from a position because things are awry in my home, there ought to be. That's the order for my life. It's not so much the church, but it's personal, my family second, and then the church third. Amen? Y'all say amen. Amen. And somehow, way or another, we buck the order that God has set for the church. Amen. Amen. Listen, and I'm not here to talk anybody down. I'm not here to put anybody down. But if there's no fruit in my life, and there's no fruit in my house, and there's no fruit around me personally, there's something wrong with my life. And y'all know, I'm not the producer of the fruit. Who's the producer of the fruit? Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Amen. Don't go by my word. But let's go by his word. Amen. There ought to be fruit in my life. Amen. If my son, listen, and I'm not saying, listen, I'm not saying I'm like, listen, if my son comes and he's on drugs and y'all see me on the way to church and I'm rolling around on the ground in the grass before I got to preach and I'm rolling around in the grass with my son because I'm just not going to let him just continue. Just pray for me. Amen. And that's what we got to do. We got to pray. Because we can't just say, oh, well, that's him. I can't look at my son and just say, oh, well, or my daughter and say, oh, well, that's them. They got their own life to live. No, but they never stop being my children. And guess what? You ought to be able to see some fruit. Listen, let's keep it real. Can we just keep it real for a moment? That we ought to be able to see some fruit, not just in my life, but also in my children's life. You ought to be able to see something. Amen. If I'm just preaching everybody else, I'm going to bailing everybody else out, and my own children are suffering, something is wrong with that picture. I ain't saying all my kids going to be perfect. Lord, no, they ain't perfect. And I will never put them on the pedestal. But they should say the apple don't roll too far from the what? Tree, that's right. There ought to be some fruit in my kid's life. So Matthew chapter 7 says, listen, it says, 15, says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And sometimes we look at the qualifications of a person, or a leader, or a preacher, or a deacon, and we just look at, oh, he's a great orator, or she's a great this, or he's a great that. And we look at the statue, we look at their degrees. Oh, Lord. We look at all those other things. Amen. But we got to be able to look. Listen, let's keep. We ought to be able to look at their family. We got to be able to look at their wife. We got to be able to look at their children. Amen. And that is when you talk about a well ruler of the home. We got to be well rulers of the home. Amen. So listen, it says, beware false prophets would come. Man, they play the game. They're in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You will know them by their what? Fruits. You'll know them by their fruit. Amen. Man, guess what? People can come into church. Boy, they can riff, sing, shout. Preach. Come on in here. Give God a hand clap of praise. Boy, I've seen it. The anointing of God is in the place. Right? Be able to do all these things. But boy, when it comes to baggage and bondage and can't get right in this, that ain't even the word, amen? And all these things in their lives, they're a mess. And I'm not talking about anybody. But you see it in the church. You see it? With the spirit of homosexuality, with the spirit of fornication, with the spirit of lust, with the spirit of sensuality. You see it on Gospel's Best, what it's called? You see it on Sunday's Best. Compromise with the world. But they come in the church and we say, wow. And everybody be on their way to hell. Amen. Amen. It says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes, thorns, or figs, or thistles? Even so, every tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, amen, and is cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit, it says it again, you shall know them. And this is what the Bible says. This is how you know. And it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in your name. We have cast out devils in your name. We have done many wonderful works, built big buildings, done all this stuff in your name. And guess what he's going to say? Depart from me. Amen. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Amen. So we got to know one thing. We're talking about an enduring love. It's the love of Christ that produces fruit. And he goes on to say here back in our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, covet, 31, but covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So they were running around in church talking about who had this gift, who got that gift, who could sing, who could do all this stuff. But nobody was saying they had the gift of love. Amen. I just want the gift of love. I ain't got to do anything else. But we just all to desire the gift of love. Amen. We all ought to desire this gift. The prerequisite for all other gifts in the church is the gift of love. Matter of fact, before anybody can be qualified to do anything in the church, guess what? They should be broken, baptized, and consumed in the overwhelming grace of how much Jesus Christ loves them. Y'all know that? We've got to pursue how much the love of Christ. And we've got to know how much Jesus Christ loved us. Y'all know why? Because love is the signifying work. Love is the signifying mark of fruit. Love is the signifying work of ministry. Amen? We got to love. We got to love. And listen, and one of the points I have, so we talk about the gift of love, and then we talk about the number, intimacy is the number one priority for my life. Amen. Intimacy. Loving Jesus. Guess what? Bar none. Has to be the number one priority for my life. Getting with Christ. Falling in love. Has to be the number one priority. And here in verse 31, before he goes, he sets it up for chapter 13. He says, we must covet. Somebody say covet. Covet earnestly this gift of love. Paul uses a negative word to bring about a positive reaction. We must covet earnestly this love relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. He says, we got to covet it. Earnestly. That means diligently. And guess what? This word covet, right? It's you know, when we talk about, and I got some points here on my sheet here. It that means, listen, we've got to get, I'm going to use the word selfish. When it comes time to spend time in God's word, right? Whether you schedule it, you need to schedule it. You need to be intentional about getting alone with Jesus Christ. Amen. You've got to be intentional about it. You've got to schedule. And that's what when he's saying covet, right? That's talking about a pursuit and a desire to earnestly pursue this gift of love. Amen. We got to covet. And then it says, and then in our sheet, we have Psalms 42, verse 1, that says, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so does my what? Soul what? Panteth after thee. So the first big bullet we have is the gift of love, for those of you that don't have the sheet. The second bullet is the intimacy is the number one priority for my life. When he says covet, that just don't mean covet a gift or covet something tangible, but that's talking about we got to covet a relationship. We have to desire. We have to thirst for it. We have to hunger for it. We have to yearn for it. Just a deeper fellowship. A deeper relationship, a deeper desire to be with Jesus Christ. And that only comes through spending time through two ways, through the word of God and prayer on your knees. That's the greatest gift. Amen. To have the great, to have the gift of love. Guess what? It's the greatest gift. And he's going to go through it in chapter 13. Amen. And I thank God. Because guess what, y'all? That love is not talking about my love. Guess what? My love will fail you. My love is puny. My love is malnourished. My love won't cut it. And there's a lot of good-hearted people out there. There's a lot of people working for Phil Abundance, the Red Cross, and all these other organizations. There are a lot of people doing a lot of great things to make them feel good. But that don't mean it's the love of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen. And the only way that you can exhibit the love of Jesus Christ, listen, is you have to be broken to his love. Amen. You've got to be broken to how much Jesus Christ loves you. You got to know it. So a couple points that I have under intimacy is we got to schedule time to be alone with the word. Amen. That's number one. We have Psalms 42 verse 1, and then we have Psalm 63 verse 1. Somebody get Psalm 63 verse 1. Somebody read that.
O God, thou art my God.
Earl.
Why will I seek thee? My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is.
Amen. And that's a thirst that we, listen, and listen, this COVID, all this stuff we're going through, guess what? It ought to drive us closer to Christ. Amen. There ought to be a longing for Christ. Amen. And 42, as a deer panteth after the water brook, so does my what? Soul pant after thee. Guess what, y'all? That deer was panting. That deer was out of breath. That deer was running from the hunter, or he was the hunted. Amen. And he panted for the water brook. And I don't know about you, but when we go, how can we go through? Listen. It's not even imaginable almost. Some of the stuff that we're seeing in these last and evil days and what we're going through. The safest place in the whole wide world is in the perfect will of God. We've got to seek shelter. Amen. David said in Psalms 27, amen. The Lord, Psalms 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid when the wicked, even the enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh? They stumble and fell, though a host shall encamp against me. My heart shall not fear, though war shall rise against me. One thing. He says one thing. What is your one thing? Seriously. What is your one thing? He says, one thing have I desired. And that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold in the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set my feet upon a rock. So number one, we got to schedule time to be alone in the word. Hey, man, I got some Bible verses and it's like 15 Bible verses in the book of Mark. I got some sheets up here if somebody wants them. I don't know if we may get them up on the on the website, but this is your homework. This is your homework. And this shows how Jesus Christ, y'all can read these sheets, just verses, read them, study them. And it shows how Jesus Christ got alone, amen, with God. Amen. Over and over again, he got alone. Very early in the morning while it was dark, in Mark 1:35, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Everyone was looking for Jesus. But after his time in prayer, he told his disciples that it was time for them to move to another village. Everybody was looking for him. Amen. The phone, the cell phone was ringing. The TV was on. The people was knocking on the door. And sometime, y'all, listen, we got to get by ourselves. Amen. We got to get alone. That's a requirement. If you're working in ministry, you got to get alone. You got to get by yourself. Amen. Number two I have is we have to protect and defend our time alone. We have to be, this is the only time that it's good to be selfish. When it comes time to being with Jesus Christ. Amen. We've got to let these distractions go. I was preparing for here, and I'm telling you to come here tonight earlier in the day, and I'm telning you, every time I turn around, the phone was ringing, somebody was coming, y'all know why? Because the devil has created just a pit of busyness. Amen. We got all these gadgets, we got all these cell phones, we got all these calendars, we got all these things to make us smart, like smartphones, right? Amen. To get us more organized. But seems like we're busier than we've ever been. Busy, B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke. I'm telling y'all, there's some stuff that we do. There's some stuff that we put in our lives that we really need to prioritize. Our alone time with Jesus Christ. Man, if church is getting in the way of you being alone with Jesus Christ, you got to schedule it. You got to be intentional about it. You got to be selfish to protect your time alone with Jesus Christ. And that's probably the only time you'll ever hear me to say it's okay. Because it's really not being selfish. Because it's about you and Jesus Christ. Amen. But you got to protect that time alone. Amen. Also, schedule time, protect your time, and give God your best hours. We talk about intimacy, right? That's what we're talking about. Minister Tobit was talking about intimacy. He was talking about Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, and he got alone. Amen. And you can see different people in the Bible. The woman at the well, he met her. When nobody else was getting their water, he got alone with her. We see Paul when he was in prison, all by himself in a dungeon. Guess what, y'all? He got alone with Jesus Christ. We see Joseph that spent 7 years in prison. Guess what? He got alone with Jesus Christ. Jacob, when he wrestled, he sent everybody over, but he stayed back. And the Bible says he wrestled with the angel all night long. He got alone. We've got to get alone. Moses got alone. Paul got alone. Jesus got alone. Guess what? Mary. Martha, Mary, not Martha. Martha stayed cumbersome. She stayed busy. But Mary got alone. We've got to get alone with Jesus Christ. Amen. And guess what, y'all? We talk about getting alone with Jesus. We talk about bearing good fruit. And we talk about, listen, coveting this love relationship. Covet earnestly the best gift. And unto you, I show you a more excellent way. We're setting it up for chapter 13, right? We're setting it up. Because this is talking about, this is what we ought to pursue. This is what we ought to covet. This is what we ought to go after. And it's intimacy with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Mary got alone. She stayed at the feet of Jesus Christ. And y'all know what? I can honestly say, man, I have a desire. I have a desire, and God has been convicting my heart because I have a desire to get alone. I have a desire to spend more time with Jesus Christ. I have that desire. But guess what? You can have all the desire in the world, but at some point you need some discipline. Y'all say discipline. It takes discipline. Amen. It takes discipline, because it's discipline with desire that determines your destiny. Amen. You can have the desire, but you gotta take the time. You gotta make the time, and don't be giving God your sleepy hours. Some people have trouble sleeping, right? Boy, but soon as the Bible opens, it's 11 o'clock at night. Guess what you start doing? You start falling asleep. Yeah. Amen. TV can come on, movie can come on, you perk up a little bit, you watch that. But soon as you try to get in the Word, amen, you start falling asleep. And the Lord had to let me know, we give him our leftover hours. Don't give God your leftover hours. Give him your good time. Give him your good hours that you can get intimate with him. Amen. Amen. And so we find here in our text that Paul says, but covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And then he goes on in verse 13 to talk about, this is the love chapter. I don't know if we're going to finish all this, but he says, though I speak with tongues of men, right, and of angels, and have not love, we're just going to call charity love, because that's what he's talking about, right? And have not love, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Amen. That means you're, and also here in verse 2, he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, I can prophesy, I understand all mysteries, all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and I have not charity, he says, I am nothing. Y'all see that? I'm nothing. And you can do all these things. Guess what? We can go out to the street. I put it on here. If we do street ministry, just to check X off the box, to say we went out, to say we went and had a good time without submitting ourselves, guess what? That don't amount to anything for the kingdom of God. We have to examine ourselves, y'all. We have to examine our motive for doing things. And we must do things in love. Listen, this love isn't talking about hitching our love to the love of Jesus Christ. This love is not talking about self-improvement, improving my love, or expanding my love. But the love that he's talking about is a love that must replace us. You can't do it. Amen. We got to be replaced. And I got to say, and I want to say, I'm a mess without Jesus Christ. Amen. And thank God I know I'm a mess. And when you know you a mess, now listen, I'm not talking about low self-esteem or anything like that. But when you know that you're nothing without Jesus Christ, amen, guess what? God comes in and he assumes responsibility. Y'all know we have no business trying to do anything in and of our own selves. We've got, and I didn't finish the sheet, might do it next week, but we've got to be replaced. Guess what? And I hear Minister Williams talk about it all the time. We're not strong enough. We're not capable. We're not able. We're not qualified to live this life, much less perform ministry in the church. Y'all, we've got to be replaced. And guess what? It's the love. It's our pursuit. It's our compelling for the love of Jesus Christ that leads to our death. So love leads to death, and death leads to life. And I'm not talking about your life, but I'm talking about the life of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm telling you, when you're broken to the love of Jesus Christ, amen, he'll do the work. He'll fulfill you.
He'll sustain you. He'll keep you. Amen? So it goes on to say, listen, although I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, knowledge, and have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, guess what? It profiteth me nothing. No. And I'm telling y'all, people are working in the church. People are working in churches. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Listen, there's certain things we can't get through without going through the cross. We must go through the cross. Amen. And y'all know what? It's the love of Christ that propels us. That if he died for one, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe, verse 14. It says, listen to this. Let's turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Listen, we're not going to be long tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Listen to this. Y'all listen. And we're going to be wrapping this up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says, the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he starts with the love of Christ. So it's our pursuit, the qualifier. For you to work in ministry. The qualifier for you to cut the grass for the church. The qualifier for you to work in the kitchen. Work on the Sunday school. Work at the farmhouse. Work under the tent. Whatever you do, the qualifier must be your pursuit for the love of Jesus Christ. It's got to be love, because it's love that's going to propel you. You can see, when you see what he did. Boy, I counsel people, right? And we counsel marriages. We do marriage counseling before marriage. And I'm telling you, when we sit down, it may not even be marriage counseling. It could be somebody going through. But I'll just use marriage counseling, right? I'm telling y'all, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, amen. I'm telling y'all right now that when we're counseling, right, that the couples that come in, or whoever it is, we don't deal with your favorite color. We don't deal with, make sure you open the door, make sure you buy her flowers, make sure you do this. We deal with their salvation. Amen. It's a unique way of counseling. But it must start with them knowing Jesus. Because one thing we got to know is people get married looking for fulfillment. That's the biggest misconception in a marriage. Amen. People get married looking for fulfillment. They do. And boy, she's sitting there thinking, oh yeah, we ready. This is going to complete my life. And what happens is, when they don't know the love of Jesus Christ, because guess what? You got to be saved for me to marry you. Amen. You got to know that partner can't sustain you. That wife can't fulfill you. That wife can't complete you. And so we spend the first session dealing with salvation, dealing with the love of Jesus Christ, to know that God commanded a love that while you were yet sinners, that Christ died. We root them and we ground them in the love of Christ. We don't talk about the color. We don't talk about the flower. We don't talk about the wedding day. We don't talk about none of that stuff. Because what happens is, people get married. They go on a honeymoon. White sandy beaches. Blue waters down in the Caribbean. Man, and when the needs are not met, I'm not talking about sexual needs, but the longing, the thirsting of that couple is not met, Guess what? It opens up a chasm for a greater longing. Amen. So when we talk about this love, we talk about the love of Christ. And at the bottom of my sheet, I have it here. It says, Ecclesiastes 3:11, God has planted eternity in our hearts. In the heart of man. And that eternity in the heart of man is a divinely implanted sense of purpose working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God can satisfy. Yet so that man cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Amen. God has implanted a longing in us. The Bible says when he created us, he breathed into us the breath of life. That's what he did. And man became a living soul. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Amen. But what happened is sin got in the way. And it tore us from that happy and holy state. It broke the fellowship. Born in sin, shaping in iniquity. Amen. God is the only one, and the only way that he came back through to satisfy us is through the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Psalms 107 says, I satisfy the longing soul, and I fill the heart with goodness. That's the problem, y'all. Man, I had a vendor coming in tonight right before I left to come here. And they said, oh, no, we had to shut the dock down. You can't get no vendors in right now. I said, why? He said, oh, it's a protest. We had to put the building on lockdown. I said, who's out there? Antifa. Antifa? These marches? People losing their mind? Even the cops? Even the tattoos? Even the rings? Even all this thing? We're searching through the alcohol bottle, through fornication, through pills, through movies, through lust, through pornography. We're searching. Man is on an endless search. To fulfill something that only Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can do it. And then you look at certain couples that open up their marriage. Because what else is there for me to do? I done tried everything. I done did everything. What else is left? Oh, only thing's left was for man to get with another man. And now, listen. You see, now they won't even call. Like, they got you filling out forms now. And they say, it's your partner. Don't even call my wife, or my wife call. I was talking about this morning a little bit. We got partners now.
Yeah.
They can't call your if you're married to a woman, your wife. She's your partner. We are in trouble. Man is desperate. Amen. God is speaking. Let them that have an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen. God is knocking at our hearts. And when you see what's going on in this world, we can't, listen, you need a, man, you listen, you can't even watch the news without getting depressed. He's speaking. He's knocking. And to those that continue to reject this message, the knock starts off hard. Then as it continues to knock, it gets softer. It gets softer. And we men would rather a lie to satisfy his conscience than to have the truth. He said, the day you hear my voice, heart, we need this love. Listen, and I know when, you know, we're not preaching outside or nothing like that. But the same love that the world needs, guess what? Us in the church, we've got to be intentional about getting one on one, falling in love. It's the love that leads to my death. And it's my death that leads to the life of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. And in order for that treasure to come out, I've got to be broken. Amen. I got to want to, listen, you got to want to love to get in the grave. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. Listen, Community Baptist, that's all we have. Amen. Listen, not only is the love of Christ here to fulfill me, complete me, and sustain me, but the love of Christ is here to replace me. So not only am I for, listen, when I think about my life and the wrecks and the mess that I was, to know that a holy God would save me, boy, I sleep like a log. My wife be like, well, you know, tapping, boy, you snoring. I'm telling you, I have no worry. I have no care. There's nothing else. Listen, I don't want for anything. Can you say that? I'm serious. What is it that I need? He's met all my needs. I don't. Paul said, I'm apprehending. I got one need. We all have one need in community. Let me calm down. Please, y'all pray for me. We got one need. I got one need. Apprehend after that, which has apprehended after me. Listen, community, I'm telling you, we gotta fall in love. Get intimate, spend time, set it on your schedule, protect it. Amen. Guard it. There's so many verses I can give. Give me a verse for that. Amen. Do thy diligence to guard your heart. Because out of it flows the issues of life. Amen. Psalms 119 says, how can a young man cleanse his ways? By what? Taking what? Heed to the what? Word of God. The Bible says, receive with meekness what? The engrafted word of God. That's able to what? Save your soul. Guess what? I don't care who knows it. Man, we were crazy about some stuff. We were crazy about somebody who didn't want us. I am crazy about Jesus Christ. Amen. No apologies. Paul said, I'm apprehending after that which hath apprehended after me. Amen. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering, even to be made conformable to his very death. So basically, he says, they were doing all these things in the church, prophesying, speaking in tongues, doing all these things. He said, they were nothing. Man, people have been in the church 40, 50, 60 years, selling baked dinners and shouting and doing all this stuff. And guess what? It's not going to amount to anything for the kingdom. Y'all know why? Because we can't work in the kingdom. Christ must work in the kingdom. We are his hands. We are his feet. And I'm telling you, if you're on the line, if you're here in this building, and you got some people that you have not forgiven, amen. And listen, forgiveness ought to be an automatic response. There ought not be anybody in our life that we can't forgive. Well, I ain't speaking to her. Really? Amen. We got to have the love of Jesus Christ. He said those things are nothing. Amen. Without the love, there will be no death. Without death, there will be no replacement. Amen. Amen. The very love, the very thing that God made for us. The very pursuit, we are the very object of his desire. Listen to this. When we talk about the love of Jesus Christ here, man, listen, it's our replacement by this love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, listen to this.
we're going to be done. We're going to close on this. We talked about the love of Jesus Christ. Man, all that Paul was going through, all that he went through, being shipped, stoned, bit by a viper, being left for dead, being talked about, criticized, all these things that he was going through. Amen. The thorn in his flesh. Guess what? Romans chapter 8 says this. He was persuaded. Amen. David said it was good for me. Somebody say it's good for me. That I have been afflicted. Listen, and we talk about the love of Christ. Listen, hold your finger on Romans chapter 8. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body, that's verse 3, to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. I give my body to be burned, but it's nothing. Charity, guess what? Love suffers long, and it's kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Guess what? Love doth not behave itself unseemly. Love seeketh not her own. It's not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. Love rejoices not in iniquity. Love rejoices in truth. Listen, love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. And love endures all things. And guess what, y'all? When you're falling in love with Jesus Christ, I'm serious. When I said before, there's nothing else I want. There, I have no enemies. Now, somebody might meet, I might be somebody else's enemy. But I have, y'all know why? Because you don't have to try. It'll be an automatic response. It'll be an automatic response to behave yourself wisely. It'll be an automatic response to suffer long. It'll be an automatic response to not envy. It'd be an automatic spot. How can you be happy for somebody else? Some people can't be happy for somebody else. It'd be an automatic response to be happy, seriously, for somebody else. It'll be an automatic response to behave yourself. It'll be an automatic response to think no evil. I thank God I've been delivered. I can't do that. And somebody said, you know what they did to me? You know what happened in the house? Guess what? When you're broken and compelled and convinced and overwhelmed, he commended his love while I was an enemy of him. I ain't got to try. I'm serious. It'll be automatic. I'm free. Are you free? I'm free. Amen. Paul says, Romans chapter 8, who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril? For it is written, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep before slaughter. Verse 37 in Romans chapter 8 says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Man, guess what? They could come rip my shirt off. I'm dead. They can put me in jail. They can kick me out the church. I can lose my house, lose my cars. People can turn their back on me. Man, when you're overwhelmed and consumed, guess what? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know who's suffering with depression, loneliness, anxiety. Guess what? This word is a buster to bust those things. Man, I'm telling you, and those things will pale in comparison. And we're going to deal with it. Next week, we're going to deal with Philippians. Amen. We're going to still talk about this enduring love.
Amen. He said, listen, for I'm persuaded that neither death, I could lose my life tomorrow. Seriously. Amen. Nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature. Nothing. Nothing. I'm validated. Can separate me from the love of Jesus Christ. I could stand in a hot Bible study room and preach for 3 hours. I'm a fool for Jesus. Y'all know that? I'm convinced that what God gave up, sending his everything. Amen. What can separate you? Amen. That's it. Next week, we're going to continue. Don't know how many weeks. Amen. I know Minister Williams will come back at some point. We'll see. We just let the Spirit lead us. But we're going to be dealing with this. Again, just dealing with this enduring love, a love that endures. Amen. In this time, that's what we need. Amen. That's it.